Today, as we continue on with our series on the teachings of Jesus, we come to the final section of the Sermon on the Mount. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus began with the Beatitudes, and then he moved on to the law and correctly interpreting the law, clearly showing the difference between his understandings of the law and those of the Pharisees and religious leaders. After this, he taught general principles for his disciples to live by and incorporate in their lives. But at the conclusion of this teaching session, Jesus changes his teaching from understanding the principles of the kingdom of heaven to the importance of putting it into practice and live out what he has taught. Jesus uses three ideas to get across the importance of walking the walk of a disciple. And today we're looking at two of them, the narrow and wide gates and a tree and its fruit. So I would like to invite Malcolm, who is going to read for us our Bible readings this morning.
I believe they're very sobering readings, really, when you think about it. Matthew 7, 13 to 23. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing. Inwardly, they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do not pick grapes from a thorn bush or figs from a thistle. Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, may enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and performing many miracles. And I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away with you, you evildoers. And the second reading is from Luke chapter 13, 22 to 30. And Jesus went through the towns and the villages, teaching as he made his way toward Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? And he said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, Sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I do not know you or where you come from. Then you will say, we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets. And he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, you evildoers. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets of the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come and from the east and the west and the north and the south, and will take their places at the feast of the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and the first who will be last. Thanks be to God for his word.
So Jesus begins his conclusion to the Sermon on the Mount by saying, enter through the narrow gates, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Jesus is highlighting that there is only one way to receive eternal life, and that is through Jesus and being his disciple. Jesus and his listeners probably had in mind, as Jesus was telling this story, of one of the fortified cities. The main entrance would be large. The main road would lead to it, and all sorts of transport could enter and leave. But some fortified cities had small hidden entrances as well. They had narrow paths and small gates that were not easily found. So Jesus likens the path in life, which leads to eternal life, like being a person who finds a narrow path to a small gate to enter a fortified city. And he likens the paths in life which lead to destruction like a person who enters a fortified city via the main road. The point is obvious. There are many ways to live our lives which end in destruction, but only one way which brings us to eternal life. Jesus is the narrow gate, and living as his disciple is the narrow path. The reason why only comparatively few enter through the narrow gate is because Jesus demands obedience and self-sacrifice as we be his disciples. We must deny ourselves in how we want to live our lives, in what we want to do, in how we want to naturally treat others, and instead follow Jesus and his ways. It involves choosing to set our sights on putting into practice all the things he has taught in the Sermon on the Mount. The Beatitudes, trying to fulfill the law of God in our hearts as well as in our actions, living out the principles of the kingdom of heaven. The gates themselves represent our physical death. The small gate brings life, but the wide gate brings destruction. Life here clearly signifies eternal life with God, and destruction, the judgment and punishment which awaits all those who refuse to follow Jesus. Following straight on from this, Jesus warns about false prophets, saying they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. This might be a reference to religious leaders who would at times wear the clothing of the prophets of old to signify being descendants of the prophets and as such purportedly one who is coming in line with the prophets of God. Now, whether or not this is the case, Jesus is saying that there will be those who will claim to be teachers and prophets of God, and they may look and sound like teachers and prophets of God, but they are not. What these people will do is turn people away from the true narrow path and small gate, and end up leading people towards the broad road and wide gate. This is why Jesus says that such people are ferocious wolves. If wolves are allowed into a sheep's pen, they will kill the sheep. If false teachers and prophets are allowed to teach and lead in the church, then some in the church will be led to destruction by them. Jesus probably isn't talking about the Pharisees here or the Jewish religious leaders, but rather people in the midst of the disciples of Jesus. For whatever reason, there will be people who will come and be a part of the people of God, but do so with false motives, or to satisfy some selfish need or desires. As a result, it's important for the followers of Jesus not to be naive and think that everyone claiming to be a disciple or a Christian really is. The problem with these wolves in sheep's clothing is that they appear at first glance to be the real deal. So Jesus gives us the means by working out whether people truly are from God or not. And he uses this analogy of fruit. Fruit in this analogy symbolizes outward manifestations of the inward character. A person who is not really walking with Jesus can't produce good fruit. And in the context of this teaching, the good fruit I think Jesus has in mind is again all the things that he has just been teaching about in this teaching session. If a person is not truly a follower of Jesus and doesn't have Jesus living in their heart, then it will show in who they are and in the way they treat people. They will exhibit harmful qualities which will hurt others and bring pain and division in the people of God. They will, as Jesus puts it, produce bad fruit. Only someone who has Christ can manifest true Christ-like traits. Now, it might confuse some people how we can make a judgment that someone is a wolf in sheep's clothing when just a few verses ago, Jesus says that we shouldn't judge people. Now, if you remember back to the message on not judging, the not judging was in relation to not looking down on someone for struggling with weaknesses. We are not to think less of someone because they have weaknesses. And so this then is quite the opposite of what Jesus is talking about here. Because here, this is a person who pretends to be someone they are not. Not someone who reveals that they are struggling with something. If someone produces bad fruit, and this does not match up with who they claim to be, then we are right to make a judgment on this. In fact, clearly, this is what Jesus wants those who are leaders amongst his people to do. He wants church leaders to be watchful about false teachers and prophets and protect his people from them. Now, what Jesus says next in Matthew 7:21-23, I think is really quite interesting as it follows on from what Jesus has just said there. Because what becomes evident here is that not only are there wolves in sheep's clothing, those who have impure motives for leadership in the church, but that there are some people who think they are Jesus' followers and even leaders of God's people, but actually are not. As Jesus reveals that there will be people who will say to him on the day of judgment, "Lord, Lord," but will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew in 7:22b-23 says this, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?" But Jesus will reply to this group, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." And why will Jesus respond this way to these people? Because it is only those who do the will of the Father in heaven who will enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, you have to put into practice the teachings of Jesus. It's not enough to hear the teachings of Jesus. It isn't enough to know the teachings of Jesus. It isn't enough to believe in the teachings of Jesus. It isn't enough to spread the teachings of Jesus and to teach others to obey them. It isn't enough to do miracles in the name of Jesus. You must be someone who chooses to accept the teachings of Jesus as your God for how you are going to live your life and put aside your natural ways of behaving which are contrary to the kingdom of heaven. You could put it this way. You must live as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven while still living as a citizen in this world and in this life. And this is exactly the point Jesus makes when he uses a very similar teaching in Luke 13:22-13. Now, reading from Luke's Gospel. Here Jesus answers a question using the notion of entering through the narrow door. Jesus is answering the question, if there will only be a few people saved. Now I'm not sure what prompted such a question, but as Jesus went around the towns and villages, it came to at least one person's mind that perhaps only a relatively small amount of Jewish people will be saved, rather than most or all Jews. Now, it would have been a common understanding that God would save all of Israel, or at least many of them, and in particular, the Pharisees and religious leaders. But as this person listens to Jesus, it seems as if Jesus is saying that many, if not maybe most, of the Jews would not enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, whatever the case, he asks the question. And Jesus, by way of using this analogy of the narrow door, effectively says, yes, only a relatively small number of Jews will enter the kingdom of heaven and have eternal life. What Jesus continues to say next is that many people will try to enter the kingdom of heaven but won't be able to. And the reason why they won't be able to is because they won't have entered through the narrow door. Again, just like in Matthew 7, verse 13, the narrow way is Jesus and being his disciple. What Jesus reveals here, that it is now in this lifetime that we have the opportunity to enter the kingdom of heaven through Jesus. It must be in this lifetime. Once we have died, or when Jesus returns, it will be too late. The door will be closed. And it's interesting to hear the arguments Jesus says people will use. They will say things like, we saw you and heard you and we ate and drank with you. Essentially, we've been hanging around with you, Jesus. Surely you know us and can let us in. For us today, that probably sounds more like, I've been baptized and went to Sunday school. I attended church and have a Bible at home. I even prayed occasionally and tried to be a good person. But Jesus will reply with a very similar response as we heard in Matthew 7:23. Here in Luke 13:27. I don't know you or where you have come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. Again, Jesus' response shows that it isn't enough to be in and around the teachings of Jesus and around the people of God. You must be a disciple yourself. You must be someone who is committed to putting off the evil we are naturally inclined to do and live in the good Jesus calls us to live in. Now, of course, we don't have to be perfect in the living of Jesus' ways, because if we did, then none of us would enter the kingdom of heaven. We still enter heaven based on the forgiveness we have received from Jesus. But we must also be disciples of Jesus, learning from him and allowing him to work in our lives to increase the amount we walk in his ways. Jesus finishes this teaching with the reality that many Jews will be thrown out of the kingdom of God. And what a terrible day it will be for those people, for those, and for all those who think they are a part of the people of God, but realize that they are in fact not. But then Jesus includes Luke 13:29. Words of hope and promise. People will come in from the east and west and north and south and will take their place at the feast in the kingdom of God. That's the promise of Jesus to include non-Jews in becoming a part of the kingdom. Most of us are a part of this group, those who are among God's people that have come in from all corners of the world. And Jesus finishes off with the idea that there are Those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last. This is a phrase Jesus uses, Jesus says a number of times. And here it is a statement reflecting that there will be those who are the most unassuming, who you would expect to be the least deserving in the kingdom of heaven, but who actually are the most deserving. And there are those who you would think are the most deserving because of their public profile and their great works, who will actually be the least deserving. This is about how it is the humblest who are the greatest in the kingdom of God. It is also about how many Gentiles will be more deserving to be a part of God's people than most of the Jews around Jesus' day, and that they will be honored accordingly. When it comes to the kingdom of heaven that Jesus is establishing, it's not your ancestry and heritage that counts, but how eagerly you respond to Jesus and follow him. So in conclusion, being a part of the kingdom of heaven is all about believing in Jesus and choosing to be his disciple, laying aside how we naturally want to live and take on living the way he wants us to live, by allowing him to live and work in our hearts. We are to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. And if we do this, then we will have eternal life, and we will enter the kingdom of heaven through that narrow gate. Amen.